We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for the work that you're doing around the world, Father God. As I was talking to John Harrison in the Middle East, in that 1040 window, great revival is happening, supernatural revival is happening, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. You are moving in this world, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we're asking again, Lord Jesus, that you have mercy upon this country, Father God. Mercy upon this country, Father God. Mercy for all the millions of babies that have been aborted, Father God. For the people that have shunned you, Father God, and turned their back on you. Father, we ask for your mercy and grace to be poured out again, Father God, unto salvation, Father God, unto eyes being opened to you, Father. We ask for your mercy to be shown on this nation, Father God, that you would give us boldness to stand up for the truth, Father God, that we'd have boldness, Father God, to stand up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father God. Your boldness and strength, Father God, you live in us, Father God. So we thank you for your presence and your spirit and what you're doing around the world. To think that God's not moving, he's doing great and powerful works where people want it. Where people want that, Lord. We want that in our community. Lord, we want that in our high school, Father God. We want that in our junior highs, Father God. That we'd stand up and be aware and not allow this nonsense anymore, Father God, contrary to truth to be preached or to be taught in our schools.
Yeah.
Lord, as the churches just take their own destinies into their own hands for their children and grandchildren, Father God. We thank you for churches waking up.
Yes.
And godly governors and mayors and council members, Father, standing up, Father God. No longer just being quiet, Father God. For the devil hasn't been quiet. So Lord, we thank you, Father God. Your people, Father, bold as mine. We thank you for that. Jesus, thank you for it. Jesus, thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, there is no other name under heaven or earth by which man can be saved, right? Can be redeemed, set free. Think of that scripture, even if you think you got it made in this shade, sucking on lemonade. In this world, I think of the scripture, it says that what is a profit of man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Amen. That's right. What's a profit? I'm so thankful, I don't know about you, but I am thankful to know him as my Savior. I'm thankful he's changed my life. How about you?
Yes.
I like to change my life. It's awesome. It's awesome to be in a relationship with the Lord. It's awesome to know being predestined in him knowing us. We'll hopefully get to that today. Some scriptures that Paul mentions in Romans 8. We're in Romans 8.
Yes.
Session 13. But knowing that that he knew us before the foundation of earth is laid, that we're his, makes you take a deep breath and say, man, I belong to you. In spite of myself. Amen? You ever know that? It's like, in spite of yourself, we belong to him. Awesome. You guys having a good evening?
Yes.
Enjoying the weather? A little breezy? Many years ago, Steve went on our 20th anniversary, which was a long time ago now. And we went to a place called Turks and Caicos. I don't think you guys ever heard of it. And when the first couple days we were there, there wasn't even a whisper of a breeze. I mean, it was muggy. It was kind of hot. You're on the island, you think there'd be a breeze, but it just wasn't even a breeze.
Wow.
And so it was pretty miserable. And then so when I got back here for quite a few years, I said, let the wind blow. It's still great.
That was your fault.
Because if you were in the place where it was muggy.
Prayers of a powerful man.
Yeah. You know, Jesus, you know, he hushed the storm, amen. I was wishing there that he raise it up a little, pick it up. Amen. So our weather overall is really good. So in Romans 8, so we've been 1 through 7, and we went through 6. Remember, we're talking about being dead to sin. And then coming to 7, Paul's saying, hey, the things I want to do, I can't do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do. And he said, but thanks be to Jesus Christ. The last scripture of chapter 7 of Romans. he goes to those things saying, I used to think the things I want to do, the things I don't want to do. I used to read that, and he'd say, thanks be to Jesus Christ. And I always thought that Paul left me hanging. But what do you mean? What is the detail? Detail. Paul, where's the detail? Because sometimes we'll put it, we'll take a chapter, right? We got chapter and verses, which Paul did not write, or any writer of the Bible did not write in chapters or verses. So sometimes we'll stop. Doesn't mean the thought or what he was writing about stop or change. But sometimes we're not careful, we'll think it is. We'll just read and not get the whole context. And then also for many years, not realizing under the King James Version, it would say, therefore there's now no condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. Well, that was added in the King James. It's not there. And so I would always get tripped up on that because people say, well, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I said, those who are walking in the flesh.
And there was conversation.
So always went right there. You can't be walking in the flesh, then realizing that we are alive by the Holy Spirit, brand new man, we are born again. It says to be dead to sin. Right, so we have the struggle in the flesh. We're going to have that till the day we die. There's this thing called the parasite that's called sin, but it's not in my spirit, man. That is old in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And it's permeating up into my soul realm because it says also says that it also says in Ezekiel that I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. So giving us the ability through the spirit, man, to by the Holy Spirit to train your soul. To train your emotions.
Yes.
To take your mind and train it to think like him. Because you are. You've got that one-third part God in you. Amen? That is whole. So we have that ability to push through. To keep pushing through. We have a bad day, we just push through. You have a bad week, you just push through. You do not give up because you belong to him. You still belong to him. Amen? The biggest thing I think people understand, and even during difficult times, do not give up. Push through because God will bring you to the other side. He will bring you to victory. He will do a miracle in your life where not only where he provides for you, but he changes you to where that part that you used to think like that, or that area that used to trip you up, will finally be something that you grow out of and say, this no longer affects my life. When this situation happens, I no longer respond this way or that way. I respond like Christ would respond. Amen? Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes you'll just realize, hey, I'm not responding to my friends or my mate or other people like I used to. Amen? You know, wow, I've got growth. But sometimes you have to come up against something that you struggle through. This doesn't mean that God's doing that for sure. It's just life. Amen? If you attend a church and get to know people, you're gonna rub each other's edges. We're going to smooth each other. We're living stones. Amen. When we come to Christ, sometimes we're a living stone that's kind of jagged edges. Yeah. And being together, what's that? That tumbler where you can put precious stones in a tumbler. Yeah. And then you let it tumble over time, and then you take it out, it's smooth. You know, that's kind of like how believers are as a body together. We smooth one another. Amen. Sometimes you might come in contact with somebody in church and you say, yeah, that person's smoothing me. Sandpaper my head. You smooth one another. Yeah. Amen? But what we don't do is respond. We don't want to respond in anger. We want to respond in his love, respond in his goodness, and God will change us, mature us, and those stones start to be smooth. We get to refit together without jagged edges. Amen? Thank you for that. Thank you for doing that in our midst, Father God. Thank you that's how you do it in the body. It doesn't work anywhere else in the body. It doesn't happen when you're on your own. It doesn't happen when you say, I don't need this. You start getting an attitude, I don't need the church. It doesn't happen on your own. It only happens with other believers. Don't allow yourself to become dislocated from the body or dislocated from the head and become resentful or bitter. For that's when the enemy can come in and bring deception and lies. There's nobody there to challenge you. There's nobody there to say, well, what about this? But in the body, actually, together, we're safe from that. We actually allow ourselves for proper doctrine, proper mindset, and a heart towards others, towards our brothers and sisters, as it says in 1 Peter 4, says, to love each other deeply. And love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Thank you for that, Bible love. I think of the royal law of love that James talked about. That's loving others. So God being in us, one of the things, a proof that God lives in us, he says, hey, I live in you because I'm in love. It's going to come out towards other people. It may take some time. You may be a difficult person, or the other person may be a difficult person, but it's going to take some time, but that's going to come out. Even John says, if you don't love your brother, if you hate your brother, do you know the Lord? If you hate people, hate those that I died for. That's a strong word, not hate. Hate meaning you wish them harm. Check, say, you know, check your heart. Check your spirit, man. Amen. I don't even know why I went into this. That was a pretty good sign.
Good word.
Session 13, Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me just think of it. It says, well, how do you know you're in Christ Jesus? I think of the Old Testament scripture. And John, if you don't have some of these, no problem, brother, okay? Bill couldn't come tonight. His truck's broken down. Again. So, next couple days, so going back to an Old Testament scripture that is for you and I today, Habakkuk 2:4, the Amplified Version says, look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith in the true God. So even in Habakkuk, talking about foreseeing beforehand, speaking forward to the Christ, speaking many, many, many hundreds of years in the future about the Christ, about you and I being justified freely by his grace. Amen? But what about this proud one? It's funny that Paul will use it, the just shall live by faith, which he gets that scripture from right here. A lot of the things that you hear Paul speaking, declaring about our salvation, about us being saved by grace and his purpose, amen, grace, faith through grace, are things that he got from God out of the Old Testament, just speaking about the new covenant. This being one of them, Habakkuk, look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith in the true God. I just want to bring out a few other scriptures. Sometimes we'll read, but I just want to explain about you and I, our faith. James 4:4, the New Century Version, I'm going to be reading that. So you, and let me say that in this beginning of this chapter of James 4, he's talking to, if you read that, he's talking to some believers that are strained. They're not one as a body. Matter of fact, there's a lot of coveting. There's a lot of envy. It says you're so envious that you're willing to murder. You're willing to do whatever it takes to obtain things from the world. You're willing to do whatever it takes to be at the top of this world. Even doesn't matter if you step on somebody else. It doesn't matter if it costs your brother or sister. So that's what he's talking about right here when he starts saying in James 4:4, says, so you're not loyal to God, he says. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes God's enemy. But mind you, he's talking about this group of people, this Jewish church, and what's taking place right now. Verse 5. Do you think the scripture means nothing that says the spirit that God made to live in us wants us for himself alone? Isn't that awesome, though? He's saying, you belong to me. You don't belong to this world. Your heart doesn't belong to this world. Now, we'll talk a little bit of things because people take things out of context and say, love the world means you can't have anything nice. Right. Well, seriously, you can't. You've got to follow very strict guidelines to prove that you don't love this world. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Some of the people that I've known that love this world and love money the most didn't have anything. I knew this one guy. He was a great guy, friend of mine, years and years ago. Railed against any type of prosperity preaching in the church. Him and his wife lived in this little bitty travel trailer. Barely didn't make it, to be honest. And his wife and him were very nice individuals. So I go over to their little travel trailer. I'm visiting with them. There's not much room, but nothing with the travel trailer. Not much more room but for them and for myself. And as we were sitting there, he starts bringing out this gun collection. I mean, it's worth more than that trailer. And I said to him, I said, hey, what do you do with this gun collection? I said, shouldn't this money be going towards like the gospel? You got this travel trailer, a hit, and all this money invested in guns? Couldn't you have done something else with it? And his wife said, yeah! Just like that. That's the truth. My point is he had a form of godliness in this area. A form of godliness in this area of life. Saying, hey, I don't love things. Can't you see by the way I'm living? But I can tell by his heart, with those guns and the money that he spent, that he wasn't in the right. It was a facade. He was trying to, he had something in his heart, a doctrine that wasn't right. Something in him, a form of religion in an area pertaining to finances, that if I could have this perception of poverty, then I'm right with God. I'm holy. I'm humble. But the thing is when you've got a love for money or love for things, or there's nothing wrong with him having those guns. I'm not saying that. But it would have been okay to have been in the house, too.
Yeah.
It would have been okay to have a decent vehicle.
Yes.
It would have been okay to enjoy the blessings of God.
Absolutely.
You know, 1 Timothy 6 says that, you know, don't follow those who say that because you follow God, that's a way to, you know, just a way to obtain wealth. But I understand, I understand that a doctrine that's not correct as far as finances or money. But if you keep reading in that chapter, 1 Timothy 6, it also says that God has given us all things for our enjoyment.
Yes.
And those that have things in this world, make sure that they're willing to give to those in need.
Yes.
So the point is people read certain scriptures like 1 Timothy 6 and says, that prosperity preaching is wicked.
Yeah.
Well, what type of prosperity preaching?
Yeah.
Let's take the whole context, like in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about 8 and 9, talks about sowing and reaping. And God giving to you to be able to be bountiful and bless others in need often. Amen?
Amen.
Let's take the whole counsel of God on these pertaining to these things. Do you think the scripture means nothing that says, verse 5 again, James 4, the spirit that God made to live in us wants us for himself alone. And we belong to him. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
His heart blesses. You belong to me. I don't want your heart going to out. To, when it says your heart going towards things that the heart will seek that might bring comfort other than him. I'm not saying we don't get comfort from things in this world, but you know what I'm saying? I need that. If I have that, I'll be complete. If this is added to my life, I'll be complete. Never works that way. Right? We've all been there. Amen. Knowing that he wants all of us as far as our worship. I love the fact that he says, I want all of you for myself. I'm a jealous God. I made you. I died for you. I want to take care of you. I want to lead you. I want to woke the devil's butt in your life and take your name. You belong to me. I'm a jealous God. I love that he feels that way towards us. Amen?
Yes.
The devil coming against us. Always tries to portray that you've done something wrong. Always tries to portray that you haven't measured up. If you do, this problem won't be here. Or God will finally acknowledge you. Or God will do this or do that. Amen. But those are simply lies of the enemy. He simply just wants a heart saying, Lord, I belong to you. Verse 6, he's talking about this love of the world, the struggle with the love of the world. In verse 6, after saying that he wants all of us, it says, but God gives us even more grace. Isn't that awesome? He even gives us even more grace. As the scripture says, God is against the proud. This is my whole point. But gives grace to the humble. So who are the proud? Love the world. I don't need God. Amen? I don't need that. The spirit of the world saying, that's foolishness. That's what we're talking about, the proud. But to us, it's say, Lord, I need all of you. Give me more. I'm not going to be bashful, Lord. Whatever you want to give me more, Father God. I'm going to be a good receiver. How many of you are a good receiver?
Amen.
I'm learning to be a good receiver. I'm learning to be a good receiver. 1 John 2:15-16, we're going to play this out a little further, talk about this a little more. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. The boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. That boastful pride, like I talked about, making your own way. I don't need God. Pursuing, being very happy in a world where little God, Satan, is the God of this world. Listening to him, pursuing his path. No conscience or heart for God or repentance. That's what we're talking about when it says the proud one. But the one that just says, Lord, I belong to you, amen. I love that, going back to that one, but God gives us even more grace in our struggles. Even more grace. Everything that we need, he has provided for us in grace. I think many of the times it's just remember to ask him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the grace through this situation. For this difficulty I might be facing, thank you for the grace to get me through. Thank you for the power, Father God, to see me through it. Lord, I'm steadfast. I'm not moving an inch because I belong to you. You'll see me through it. That's what we learned in our emotions. That, hey, God's in control here. I'm in control of my emotions. Amen?
Amen.
They're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen and amen. You know, the sin of pride is in excessive preoccupation with self and one's own importance, achievement, status, or possessions. Like I said, it's that attitude of, I don't need God. I like there's no more condemnation to those that have put their trust, hope, and affection on him. Amen. Don't you agree with me? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen?
Amen.
God's law within our hearts. Where's his law? He says that he would put his law within our hearts. Amen? God's law is within our hearts. Instead of trying to change from the outside in, try real hard to be obedient, but by God's Spirit, the perfect law within our hearts, and our hearts cry for it, means it's working from the inside out. So with the law, it was like, try from the outside in. I've got to follow these rules. I've got to structure my life completely around the law, right? But through faith, through grace, it's saying, I'm changing from the inside out. Amen? Only from the inside out can we truly change. And if it's his Spirit that's doing that, then I can kind of be at rest. Thank you. Thank you for rest. Matter of fact, Father, thank you. The trying times that I know that we face right now, thank you still for rest in our lives. And we don't get all knotted up, amen. But we're facing with government. I'm not saying that we don't stand up, we don't fight everything, but we've got to have a rest from inside of peace that the world says, I want that. If we're just acting like the rest of the lunatics, we just blend in, there's no difference. I want to shine. I want to be different. Standing up for truth. But people say, something different. You've got something I want. You've got something I need. You've got something that's missing in my life. We still better remember what the purpose of the church is. Amen?
Amen.
As I said before, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Just think of that right now. God did.
Amen.
God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the flesh. In Romans 6:14, in the New American Standard Version, it says, "For sin shall not be master over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace." Hallelujah. Servants of righteousness. Amen. Servants of righteousness. Verse 5. For those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death. It does not bring life. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We just say that in our own strength, in our own ability, we cannot please God. It seems contrary to what we would think, right? Be a good person, give to charity, be helpful, be kind and considerate, but outside of Christ, it's amazing, but it means nothing. I think in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I give my body, to the flames, if I give all I have to the poor, but I have not love, it means what?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. If we can get there by being our good gestures, by giving to those in need, to being a part of charities, then we wouldn't have needed Christ to come. The hardest person that might be able to lead to the Lord and say, "Hey, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I do this, I do that. I might even attend church, whatever church it is." But in the end, it has no value for salvation. Only by the precious blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 4:1-3. And then you don't have this, John says, okay, but it's in the Passion Translation. I love that translation. It says, "Since Christ, though innocent, suffered in his flesh for you, now you also must be a prepared soldier, having the same mindset. For whoever has died in his body is done with sin." So say, consider yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself dead with Christ. Consider yourself buried with Christ. Consider yourself raised up to life with Christ. So he's talking about that same, exactly like what Paul says, Peter. Verse 2. So live the rest of your life, your earthly life, no longer concerned with human desires, but consumed with the bright, with what brings pleasure to God. For you have already spent enough time doing what unbelievers love to do, living in debauchery, sensuality, partying, drunkenness, wild drinking parties, and the worship of demons. You know, people that come to you, I listen to, that live like this, I always notice that life, whatever life it is without the Lord, finally gets tired. There's no satisfaction. And what he's saying here, he says, you're dead to sin. He says, you spent enough time doing that. Come on out of that. There's no life in that. There's no faith in that. There's no hope in that. There's no satisfaction in that. So he's saying there, come out of that. So it's just like what he's saying in verse 4. It says, hey, do not walk in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Making decisions, saying, Lord, I'm coming out of those things that are harmful. You know what we can do? That's the only way to grace, to come out of those things that bring harm to us. He'll show us. How does he show us? In the Word of God. Things like this. And maybe, it's funny how it says in the Scripture, it says drinking parties. But anyway, just give an example of things that lead to debauchery, that lead to more unhappiness, that lead to open doors for the enemy to come in and to bring harm into one's life. Verse 9 says, "For however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Amen? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So how do we know that we belong to him? We have the Spirit of Christ. How do we get the Spirit of Christ? Where's the list? I need the list. You guys pick up the list. Simply by faith. By faith. Thank you, Jesus, for washing my sins away. Thank you for living in me. Amen. Thank you for dwelling in me. Thank you for changing me. It still blows my mind that it happens by faith. It can't be. There's got to be something more to it. Religions will tell you there's God, there is more to it. But simply by faith, His Spirit living in us and then growing in us and showing us things and leading and guiding us. He's the one that said, come on out of that. You grow some more. Come, you let go of that. You grow some more. Change that. He does that. And how does He show you those things? Through His Word. As you're reading the Word, you'll see those things that that Paul talks about, works of the flesh. Oh, anger. Outwards of the wrath. You'll start seeing those things in the Spirit of talk to you and say, hey, I want to address those things. That's how He does that. With His gentleness. With His Spirit showing those things. And saying it's time for this now. Doesn't happen instantly. Has anybody found that out? How long have you guys been walking with the Lord?
Yeah.
Is everything just perfect? Peachy? You respond perfect? Your thoughts are as pure as the driven snow. Never get angry at anybody. Never have a curse word come out of your mouth or pop in your mind. You're driving the. Boy, isn't that true? Those are those things as you're walking. But that's what I say, walking in the Spirit, saying, Lord, I'm open to whatever you want to do in my life and show me. I'm here, Lord, and He's the one that with His gentleness and His goodness. Amen.
Amen.
Start speaking to us. That's how that works. Amen. It won't get it. It won't do it by here's the list. Okay, if I can punch them, okay, today I'm done with that forever. I'm done with that. It just does not work that way. As soon as you start doing it that way, you're sure to fail.
That's right.
Because the power of sin is in the law.
Yes.
Has anybody ever experienced that?
Yes.
When you really start trying hard, all of a sudden it's like, it is just, it'll spin out of your car. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, amen, Christ is in me, how about you? If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Well, who's righteousness? We've got to make sure.
Jesus.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the New Living Translation, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen.
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 Sorry.
Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He dwells in me. How about does He dwell in you?
Yeah.
Absolutely dwells in you, without a doubt.
Yes.
Therefore, we do, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's this body. This is mortal. Amen. Life to this body. Amen.
Yes.
How about healing for this body?
Yes.
How about strength for this body?
Yes.
How about peace in my mind in Jesus' name?
Yes.
How about my emotions being steady Eddie? Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day.
Yes.
And I believe in good health and everything, but I don't look anything like I did when I was 20. I promise you. I was listening to Andrew Walmack. He was preaching one time. He said that baldness was the curse of the law. So I say, Lord, I'm not under the curse anymore. But I'm so used to this now, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sure I figured out, but no big deal for me. Elisha, remember Elisha had no hair? In the beginning, remember some kids made fun of him? And he sent a couple she lions out of the woods, and that was it for them. That's what happened. Read it yourself. Yeah, they were calling their names and calling Baldy and everything. Well, he got kicked off. Could you imagine those parents just like, where did little Jimmy go? Did anybody even find any remains? He was the... He was the prophet of grace, except for that one. He wasn't perfect after all.
Yeah.
So he might say, Lord, forgive me for that. Although it said he called them out. Isn't that amazing? He called those she bears out, and here they came. That's crazy. They make fun of all people. Amen. Renewed day by day. You know, day by day is just, that's a promise then. So we read these things. Lord, help us to not just say, oh, that's wonderful. Help it to resonate in our hearts, in our minds, amen? Renewed day by day. But I will remember in the morning that when I get up, say, Lord, thank you, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, my back, but I'm renewed day by day. Father, left it from the inner spirit, man. Let my body be healthy, amen? Even as I'm growing older, we do grow older, amen? But renewed, but the inner person being renewed day by day. Thank you, Lord, that we remind ourselves that you, Lord, that our hearts, Lord, that you would remind us of those things. Your mercies every day are renewed, the renewal of our inner man day by day. Amen. I love that. Verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters. So who is he talking to? Brothers and sisters? Believers. Amen. It says we are under obligation. Man, we're under an obligation. But it said, not to the flesh. You're under no obligation to the flesh. The enemy would like to say, no, the enemy's your flesh is in control. But Paul's saying here that you're not under obligation to the flesh. See, your spirit man is in charge. Some of the suffering we say is like, Lord, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not letting my mind go there anymore. I'm not allowing resentment, bitterness to dwell there anymore.
Yes.
Anything that feels like bitterness in my soul realm, I say, I curse that bitter root in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command it to dry up.
Amen.
Bitterness can be the hardest thing that you can get past, to be delivered from. Because it says bitterness is a root. A bitter root. So a bitter root comes from an offense. An offense steps in. And now it becomes something that's got a hold of us. It's a root. So Father, we thank you for bitter roots being dried up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That they're not going to control my life, my actions. They're not going to keep me back. All of us have had to deal with some types of resentment and bitterness. Unfortunately, it's the thing in this world that we have to overcome. And it's the thing that will tear a church up the most is resentments and bitternesses. They result in church splits. It results in people that were doing well, going forward in the purpose of God, and then allowing offense to take root. And all of a sudden, that thing that they were pursuing in God is no longer even on their radar as their concern. Consumed by a hurt. Well, we thank you that for us, that's not the case. Amen.
Amen.
Your church, Father God, not we just curse those things, but we say, not me. I'm not going to respond to that. You can feel that thing in your gut. When there's a root of bitterness, you can feel it in your gut, that anger, that resentment, that hurt. That thing where you're saying, I wasn't treated right. Something happened to me, wasn't right, wasn't fair. And that very well could be the case. But yet saying, Lord, say, even as Christ Jesus forgave others. And in many cases, saying, Lord, I forgive them over and over. Lord, I forgive them in Jesus' name. Father God, even if they're in the grave, Lord, I forgive them in Jesus' name. I don't condone maybe what they did or what happened, but Lord, nevertheless, from my own heart, I forgive them. Amen. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Let me just say this, you can't do that in your flesh when it says putting to death deeds of the body. Those things that are bringing harm to you. Those things that can destroy relationships. Those things that can destroy a home. Those things that can destroy a purpose in your life. But you can't do it on your own. You've got to remind yourself going back, way back to Romans 3. Remember we were at Romans 3 like a couple months ago? Romans 3, 22 through 25 says, "But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith, removing all the sin, all the debt." Actually, propitiation says giving us grace, giving His righteousness, not just the scales being wiped out, but His righteousness tipping us over here. God's favor tipping us over here. Amen? So these things that He's talking about, wants in flesh, don't think He's saying you can do it on your own. It says that they're only your dead to sin. It's His righteousness. You are dead to sin, but alive unto Him. Amen. 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Are you allowing Him to lead you? Just let Him to speak to your heart. Allow Him to speak to your heart. I think more and more, say, Lord, speak to my heart. More of a hunger to know His still small voice. Amen. Hungry more to have the word like jump out at me and say, that's what that means. Thank you for revealing that to me. Or thank you for by your spirit revealing your goodness to me. Day by day. 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. So we're saying, hey, I brought you out of fear. Slavery not leading to fear again, meaning we've been in fear once before. Many of us, before we knew God, devastated by fear, fearful of everything, fearful of death, fearful of man, fearful of whatever that in the world that would bring, that come against us. Fear, fear, fear. But it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Amen? Yeah. Remember so many months ago when I spoke about the adoption papers? Yeah. You got an adoption paper, amen? Yeah. You are adopted. He belongs to you. I have been a person who was adopted. If you try to find any history on me before I was adopted, it's not there. You can't find it. I told you that my sister tried to get a new birth certificate because she thought she needed to give Bible records, needed to give her name before she was adopted. They sent her a letter saying, we have no such records. We have no such records. She had to give them her adopted name. Oh, yeah, we can give you that birth certificate because it says that that father was there at your birth. Isn't that amazing? Who was there at the birth? Having the man who adopted us as if he was there since the beginning. That's what it means when he's adopted us. The slave claim, the past, Satan, who was our father before we came to know Christ, is no longer our father. As he said it to the Jewish, remember to the Jewish people, you do what your father, the devil, wants you to do, because he's a liar. He's a father of lies. But for you and I being adopted into the family of God, it's as if we were never in sin. We were never part of the world. He doesn't see us that way. Amen. Amen and amen. Lord, thank you for that, Father. Our adoption papers. Amen. Received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy. Father. I love you. Lord, I need you. Thank you, Father. Knowing that on the other end, He's not rejecting us. On the other end, He's not frowning at us. On the other end, He's not got His arms folded.
Amen.
But His arms are open. Amen. As He's adopted, He's paid the ultimate price, giving His very best from heaven to redeem us. Amen. Redeeming us from the curse of the law. Redeem us from our old way of life. We can walk in newness. Amen. Regardless of your age, regardless of your past, regardless of your experiences, today is a new day. Amen. Thank you, Father. I think that he loves taking people that have just went around the same mountain over and over and over again. She'll be coming around the mountain. And you go by and wave, bye! We'll be back! Even those type of people, and you can get them off on a new path. Get them into a straight and narrow way called faith in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Doesn't matter what yesterday or the mountain you've been going around, man. That doesn't have to continue. The devil says, look at this track. It's now 3 or 4 foot deep. You're never getting out of it. All that, David in Psalms 40 says, man, I'm in a miry clay.
Yeah.
My feet are there. I can't get out. He goes on in that chapter and says, the sins are more numerous than the hairs of my head and stuff. What am I going to do? Jesus begs me, God said, Lord, you showed me. If you read Psalms 40, he says, you've opened my ears. You show me that you don't want sacrifice. You show me that's not what you're looking for. You want my heart. You want my heart. So as he was struggling in his sins, King David, in this chapter 40, he realized, man, the law's not the answer. He says, you brought me out of that miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock. Who's that rock?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we're standing firmly on the rock. That he's taken our feet out of miry clay. The thing is, if we're in miry clay, to say, Lord, thank you for bringing me out of that miry clay and putting my feet on the rock. Declare the word. If you can do it for King David, you can do it for me. Amen? Amen. One more scripture and we'll close it. We'll shut her down. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. And I mentioned, if you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, sons and daughters of which we cry out. Hebrews 2:15 says we no longer have a fear of death. Amen. Death has no power of us. Amen. Whenever it is that we finally die, instantly in his presence, amen, I can't wait to see his face. How about you? You're not thinking, man, I just hope I make it by the skin of my teeth. You ever been there in your lifetime? Gosh, if I just make it by the skin of my teeth. Now to say, Lord, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. Hebrews 13:6 says, I was a fearful man, but not anymore. So the fear of man, the fear of death, the Lord has delivered us from that when he says, slavery lead to fear again. Amen. But he's adopted us, living in us. No reason to be fearful of man. No reason to be fearful of death. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. That's going to be it tonight. We're going to pick it up next week. Amen. You love him just real quick?
Yes.
Are you still awake tonight?
Yes.
Thank you, this Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are renewing our strength day by day. Lord, I pray during the rest of this week, Father, that we would sense that scripture, both promises, every day, regardless of the challenges we have in life. Amen. But I'm renewed day by year with your strength, Father God. We thank you for victory of those things that would try to bring us back sins, Father God, of the flesh, Father God. We thank you for victories over that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for just the trials, the struggles of life, Father. We have great joy in the midst of even struggles. Lord, as you lead us past those things, through those and over those things, because you've made us overcomers. And so we thank you, Father, overcomers, to say right now, thank you, Lord, I'm an overcomer. Renew day by your strength. In Jesus' name.